I'd like to welcome you all this morning. My name is Nigel. We've been going through in the church here, church in Toronto, we've been going through a series on the Psalms. And we're up to Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90 is a crucial psalm. We're going to cover it this morning. And we've asked Michael, who's going to come and read it to us. He's going to introduce himself briefly.
Hi. I was asked to share a little bit about myself. I've been walking with Christ for over 20 years now. I make my living sometimes in the performing arts. When Nigel asked me, something popped into my heart to share, so I'm going to share it.
Good.
My father was an itinerant alcoholic. He was in and out of my life for most of my life. Then I became a believer, and there were instances where I would meet him years apart. Once I met him in the shopping center, and I had a chance to share Christ with him, and then I didn't see him for many, many years. And then fast forward 2 years ago, and I got a phone call that he was dying of lung cancer, and he was in the palliative care unit. And I just happened to be on vacation in Montreal visiting my family at the time. So I went to that hospital. I was very fearful because I hadn't seen him for a few years. And I went in the hospital room and I talked to my father and I shared the gospel with him again. And he asked for forgiveness for a lot of things that he had done. And he cried a lot and we hugged each other. And, you know, I don't know a lot of things for sure in his journey, but I know my father is with Christ now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that took over 20 years of just praying.
Right.
So if I just wanted to encourage anyone here, if you've been praying for a long time,
yeah.
God does answer prayers in his own way and his own time.
Yeah, good. Good. Thank you.
So Psalm 90, verse 1 to 17. Lord, you have been our refuge, our dwelling place in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. You return mankind to thus saying, return, descendants of Adam. For in your sight, 1,000 years are like yesterday that passes by, like a few hours of the night. You end their lives. They sleep. They are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning, it sprouts and grows. By evening, it withers and dries up. For we are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your wrath. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all our days ebb under your wrath. We end our years like a sigh. Our lives, 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. Even the best of them struggle in sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Lord, how long? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love so that we may shout joy and be glad all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us.
Yeah.
For as many years as we have seen adversity. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be on us. Establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right. Good. We're up to Psalm 90. In the beginning of this series, we asked people to read with us day by day, one psalm a day. If you've fallen behind, which some of you may well have, if you've not started yet, I encourage you today, start with Psalm 90. Tomorrow, 91. Tuesday, 92. You get it? Okay, and we'll go through these together. We're at Psalm 90. It is It's a unique psalm. It's the only psalm in the 150 psalms attributed to Moses. It stands out. It's entitled as a title across the top. a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So, okay, it starts out like this. I just like to focus, you know, if we a good beginning point is line one, verse one, which says this, right? Lord, you have been our refuge. You have been our dwelling place in every generation. You've been our dwelling place. You've been our refuge in every generation. Or some of the more contemporary versions say this. God, you've been our home forever. My Lord, you have been our home forever and ever. God is our home. God is our home. God is our true home. Then think about what that means. You got to ask yourself, I ask myself, what does home signify? What does home mean to you, to me? Then think, you know, it could mean a number of things. Security, safety, nourishment, comfort, a lot of things. Somebody said this, home is the place. Home is the place that when you go there, they have to receive you. Home is the place when you go there, they must receive you. Think about it, right? Home, you're guaranteed reception. Home, you're guaranteed people will receive you. You're guaranteed to be accepted. Okay, God is our true home. I like to, when I was growing up, I grew up in England, Manchester. There's a river there, River Mersey. It was quite close to our house. I have a twin brother. Some of you have seen him. He's visited. Not identical. But I have a twin brother. This is about 60, almost 60 years ago. You know, we were kids back then. Kids roamed the neighborhood, roamed the area. It's a little bit different than today. I was with my twin brother and his friend. His friend was called John France, three of us. And we wandered, as kids do, we wandered down to the river. And that river, the banks of the river were dirt. There was grass, meadows, and then it came to the river. There was a drop, maybe 2 meters or more to the river. The river was muddy, dirty, but we played around it. Then we're kids, four kids, three kids, and a river. That's a recipe for trouble. So we wandered down to the river, and one of us, I don't know who, had a great idea. Let's jump on the edge of the river, on the bank. If we jump on the edge of the river, the grass will break, the dirt will go, and we'll get a big splash, and that's good. Let's do that. So we're jumping on the edge of the river, on the bank, and we get a big clump of dirt to crash down into the river, and oh, that's impressive. Let's do it again. So we do that a few times, and then I was there, and I was thinking, you know, if we keep doing this, something's going to happen. We're going to go down into the river with this dirt. I stepped back. As I stepped back, my brother and his friend jumped and went down into the river. They got wet. It was muddy. They clambered out, soaking wet. And Nigel was dry. Now we got to go home. Okay, we go home, and my mom was home. My mom was a school teacher. So we went to the door. My mom came to the door, and she looked at us. And she looked at my brother, twin brother. She looked at his friend. She looked at his friend. She could tell what happened. You're in the river. You got wet. She said to his friend, John France, you go home. That was him. Off he went. She said to my brother, you go upstairs, take a bath, get changed. And you, that was me. I thought I was okay. I was the one that's dry, remember? I didn't fall in the river. I thought I'm okay. Said, you, why didn't you stop them? So we're all in trouble. But you notice, the friend was sent home. Right? My twin brother, myself. Yeah, we're in trouble, but we're home. See? He's soaking wet. He's muddy. He's accepted. We're home. I'm dry. I'm still in trouble. I'm accepted. I'm home. Home is the place when you go there, they have to receive you. God is our dwelling place. God is our home. God is our refuge through all generations. Moses said it here. It's quoted, given, put, these words are attributed to Moses here. He already said it in Deuteronomy. It's a point in the Bible. Jesus told the story, if you remember, Luke 15, famous story, one of the most famous parables given by Jesus. The parable of the prodigal son is a story about home, coming home. Remember, two sons. The youngest asked the father, "Father, I don't want to wait till later when you pass on. I want my portion now." Give, right? He gets his whatever's coming to him, goes away from home. The money's gone. He's in trouble. He ends up feeding pigs in a far country, right? That's about as low as you can go. He's in trouble. He's in difficulty. When he's there, he thinks about home, right? And says, "I'm going to go to my father. I'm not sure I'm worthy. I don't think I'm worthy. I'll ask my father for a job." He goes back. He goes there and finds out when he's approaching home, his father runs, embraces him, receives him, brings the new clothes, brings new shoes, receives him, accepted him. It's a story about coming home. God wants to be a father to us. God wants to receive us to himself. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've gone through, God wants to receive us to himself. So no matter where your life has taken you, ups and downs, whatever has happened to you, God, here it says, God is our true home. And I like you, encourage you, apply that word. Home is the place. When you go there, they have to receive you. If we come to God, come back to God, return to God, God will receive us, will welcome us, will accept us to himself. Isn't that good? Amen. God is our home. God is our true home. And that word is declared here. Okay, so it's a point, it's a matter about coming back to God. Okay, that's the first line. That's a principle applies across the Bible. There's more to this psalm, and I think if we can spend a few minutes to get the perspective on this, it may help us. We've been going through psalms, we're beyond the halfway point, and we can take the psalms one by one, but the psalms are placed in a particular sequence, and that sequence is meaningful. So if you look at this psalm related to the ones that go before, the ones that come later, that will help us understand why it says what it says and help us get more out of it. Many scholars feel like this psalm, you have to read this psalm against the background of the exile, of the captivity, when God's people, Israel, Judah, were taken away from their land, taken away from their city, taken away from their temple, and taken all the way to Babylon, today's Iraq, Baghdad, right? In that situation, they lost a lot of things. In this situation, this psalm is placed here against that background. I think it's helpful to do a little timeline so we can get clear. Let's do this. Okay, very quickly, a few milestones to pick up. Number one, Old Testament history, Israel. We can start back with Abraham. Remember, 2000 BC, That's 4,000 years ago. God called Abraham. Abraham, and God said, I'll make you a nation. I'll give you a land. God made promises to Abram. There's Abram, Isaac, Jacob. We continue on. The people end up down in Egypt from a family of Abram down to Joseph and the 12 brothers. Then they stayed in Egypt and ended up in slavery and bondage. And they're there. God raised up Moses. First Abram, 2000 BC. Go forward about 500 years. We're 1500 BC. God calls Moses to lead this nation out of bondage, out of Egypt, toward the land that God promised them. Right? So you have Moses. Fast forward 40 years in the wilderness. They arrive at the land. They take possession of the land, which today we know as Israel, the land of Canaan. And fast forward more, they gradually occupy the land. And then eventually God raises up a king, David. When you're talking about David as the king of Israel, right? That's the high point in Israel's history. We're about 1000 BC. So think back, 2000 BC, Abraham. 1500, Moses. 1000 BC, David. David is the king. David has his city, Jerusalem, as the center of his kingdom. David listens to God. He's the human king, but he's under God as his king. He's the earthly representative of God, the king of his people. He rules according to God, and the kingdom is the expression of how God is. Right? Expresses to the nations around, it's a kingdom under God. Right? David wants to build a temple. Eventually, his son Solomon builds the temple. So he builds it on Mount Zion, which is part of Jerusalem. So you got the land. Okay, think about what you've got. Yes, you've got God and the people. God's people, Israel, are in the land that God promised. Number one, they have the land that God promised to Abraham. Number two, we have the city of Jerusalem, their capital city. Number three, we got the temple where they worship God and God promised his special presence to be with them. We got the temple. Number four, we've got a king, David, and his line, his dynasty, who are the human kings representative of God. This is God's kingdom on the earth today. Right, got the land, got the city, Jerusalem, got the temple, and got the king, the line of kings. Okay, that is a high point, 1000 BC, David down to Solomon. From there, we go downhill. Why? Because the kings don't listen to God, don't live the way or govern the way God wants them to, so the nation doesn't have the kind of leadership it needs. Eventually, God's place. They're unfaithful to God. They're doing other things, right? So eventually, God, after time, God eventually does what he said he would do if they didn't follow him. God said, I'll take away your land, take away your city, take away your kings. I'll remove you to another place. That's the exile, right? 700 for the north, BC for the north, 600 BC for the south, Judah. That's what happened, okay? So that's the timeline. So you've got Abraham to Moses to David, the height of the kingdom, the peak where they've got all these things. God promised them to help them worship God, to help them express God on the earth today. However, they went downhill. Eventually, they're going away from God. So they go into exile, into captivity in Babylon for a period of time. Okay, exile, 700, 600 BC, depending whether you're in the north or in the south. Okay, now that is the backdrop of Psalms. So the Psalms, if you remember back, most of the Psalms in the beginning are Psalms of David. We're starting out, David's seeking God. He says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, Psalm 23, and the other Psalms of David. That's the time when David was the king. And we go forward until you hit Psalm 71. David is old. In Psalm 72, he's praying for his son Solomon that he would be a good king, that the kingdom would follow the line that he started. However, 73, which takes us into book 3, things begin to go downhill, right? So the whole period of time, Psalm 73 all the way to 89, there's some good things, some bad things. It's up and down, but the general trend is down. We get to Psalm 89, and the end of 89 says, God, you have cast down our king to the ground. You've cast his crown down. God, you've not kept the king in the line of David on the throne. What's happened to your covenant with David, your promise that his descendants would be on the throne? What's happened? Answer, you're going into captivity. You lost, because of the people's sin, you lost the land, lost the temple, lost the city, and lost the line of kings. All the things you had, right? At that point comes Psalm 90. Amen? It's not the end of the story. Praise God. You know, Psalm 73 is a turning point. Psalm 90 is a turning point. Psalm 73 is a turning point. 72 to 3 is you're the top of the peak and you're beginning to go down. Psalm, you get up to 89, you're on the bottom. When you're on the bottom, the way to go is up. Thank you. When you're at the bottom, the way to go is up. Right? Psalm 90 is the way forward. It's the way out of this situation of captivity, of losing things. So, Moses comes in. Why Moses? Because, you know, the way forward is you've lost the things you gained since the time of Moses. When Moses brought you to the land, in the time of Moses, you didn't have the land yet, you didn't have the temple yet, you didn't have Jerusalem yet, and you didn't have a line of human kings yet. You got in the land and you got all those things. However, now you've lost those things, so don't look back. You're not, right? Don't think you can quickly get back those things. No, you're back where Moses was. Where you were in the time of Moses, you didn't have those things, but you had God. Amen. You had God. So the way forward is think about how it was in the time of Moses. God, you had God's presence. You had God himself. And yes, you didn't have a home. The whole nation in the time of Moses, they wandered in the wilderness. You didn't have a physical home, but you had God as your home. You didn't have a human refuge, but you had God as your refuge. You didn't have a land, but you had God leading you, guiding you. That's the way forward. Moses comes in with this psalm, which is given to the people. Amen? It's good. You know, God gives things and God gave them things, but those things were to help them to worship God, help them have relationship with God, help them have a kingdom for God. But when they didn't do that, God took those things away, and yet God still wanted to be their God. And the way back is to go forward and think about the time of Moses. You still have God. Listen to God. Have relationship with God. Don't simply try and turn back the clock, right? So this psalm is like that. So you say, you know, we look at this psalm and we say it talks about 70 years. It talks about 80 years. And most of us read it and say, you know, the Bible says regular human life is 70 years. If we're strong, 80. Now, for those of us like me, hey, that's getting pretty short, pretty close. I am 68. I am 68. If human life is 70, I got 2 years to go. What about you? This is right. You say I'm strong. Okay, add 10 more years. Actually, that's not the point. The point of that 70, 80 is not you can figure out how many years you got left. The point is this. God is eternal from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. With God, 1,000 years is as one day. It says those things like a few hours in the night. God has a lot of time, right? We don't have a lot of time. So we should pray and ask. I hope we all have, you know, I have this feeling. I hope I could convey it to you. God, I want you to work in my day. I want you to work now. I want to see you work. They were in a situation, they lost a lot of things. They felt like they were under God's discipline. Moses' prayer is, God, turn. Change the situation for us. We want to have mercy on us. We want to see you work. Moses, and the feeling of this psalm is, God, to you, it doesn't matter if you don't do anything for 100 years, 1,000 years. God, you're okay. I'm not okay, right? You have 1,000 years. I don't have 1,000 years, right? Which of us has 1,000 years? You don't have 100 years, right? But we should pray, God, we want you to work today. We want you to work among us. We want to, if you're gracious to us, we want to see you work among us. So this psalm is a prayer for things to turn. Turn from discipline, turn from judgment, turn from disappointment, turn from disorientation, turn from the trauma they had in exile, turn for a new day, turn for a new day, turn for a new season, right? So I think there's some good prayers here, good things we can pray. If you look toward the end of this, think about the last 6-7 verses. There's a lot of things we can pray. It says, Lord, how long? Lord, how long? Turn, relent, have compassion on your servants. This prayer is a prayer, God, please end that season, begin another season. We've been through discipline, we've been through affliction, we've seen a lot of trouble. God, we pray that you'd work in this day, bring us into a new season, right? That's a good prayer to have. I hope we in this church could pray, God, give us a new season. Give us a new season. Yeah, you know, if you've been in this church a long time, you've seen trouble. If you've been in this church a long time, you've seen turmoil, seen things happen. Yeah, but God, we want a new season. That's my prayer. I hope that will be your prayer. Verse 14 says this, satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love so that we may be glad all our days. God, satisfy us in the morning. It's a prayer. God, we want a new morning. We want a morning. We've been through night. The night is long. The night is dark. God, we give us a morning. Give us light. Give us a new day. Amen. That's a prayer. If you've gone through, maybe some of us have gone through trouble in our life, turmoil, things have gone badly. Here's a prayer you can pray. God, grant us another day. Grant us a morning. Have compassion on us. We could go forward. That's the prayer of the nation. That's the prayer of the people, right? Make us glad all our days. Okay, next one, 15. Make us rejoice. For as many years, sorry, we missed it out. Make us rejoice for as many years as we have seen adversity. The prayer is, God, we've seen a lot of trouble. We've seen a lot of difficulty, right? But God, that many years. Now, give us years of joy, right? We've seen years of trouble. Give us years of joy. We've seen days of trouble. God, grant us days of blessing. Days we can rejoice. Amen? Would you like to pray that? That's a good prayer to pray. God, even for this church. God, for those who've been around, we've seen adversity, we've seen trouble. God, we want to see, Lord, we grant us days of joy. Amen? We want to see you work. We want to see God do things among us. Amen. I believe that in this church, we are seeing. I believe we're at Psalm 90. We're at Psalm 90. We've gone through trouble, through ups and downs in the past, right? Whatever. But now we're turning the corner. God, we're praying. God, grant us a new day. Grant us a new season. Make us glad. Make us rejoice. Amen. You know, since about this year, 25 people have gotten baptized. 25 people in this congregation have gotten baptized. Is that worth rejoicing?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's worth rejoicing. Right? That's God at work. Amen. God wants to do something. God wants to stir. Del told us last week, the tree does not move the wind. Remember that? The tree does not move the wind. You say, I know that. Duh. The wind moves the tree. What does that mean? We can do whatever. We can try and have the best meeting, best arrangement, best music, best message, best program, best facility, best whatever. But if God doesn't move, the tree doesn't move. We need the wind. What's the wind? The wind is God. The wind is the Spirit. The wind is the breath of God. So we're praying, God, send the wind. Send the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, we do all those things and we do the best we can. But God, we still need you to move. We need the wind to blow. We need the wind to change people. Amen?
Amen.
Right? So let's pray. God, send the wind. Send the Spirit. Move in my life. Move in other lives. Move in among us here to do new things. Amen? Okay, next one. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor to their children. God, we want to see you work. We want to see you work here. Your work. That's what God does. We do whatever we can. If God doesn't work, nothing's going to happen. If God works, a lot will happen. Amen?
Amen?
We look forward to God to work. Work here. Work among us. Work in your life. Work in my life. Work among the people around you, the people around me, for you and your children.
Amen.
Amen. Right? You may say, if you're older, you say, yeah, I remember God moved back then. Yes, God did move back then. We don't deny that. We appreciate that. But we want God to move again. For us and for our children. For you and for your children. Okay? 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Amen?
Amen.
Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. We need the Lord's favor. He has his work. Lord, we pray what we do in our lives, right? In our daily life and whatever. Lord, you would establish that and what we do together. Amen. God can establish the work of our hands. That what we do would count. Right? That's my desire. I hope that's your desire. God, I want what I do in my life to count with you. Right? We can do a lot. You know, for 9 years, I was a professor of economics. I'm researching. I'm writing papers. I'm publishing papers. I'm doing whatever. I'm teaching economics. At the end of that time, I thought, okay, when I face Jesus, what am I going to offer him? I'm going to tell God, Jesus, I wrote this economics paper. I did this economics research. And God will say, I knew that already. Whatever you discovered, I knew that already. What you said, you can help people a little bit. But there's something, things we can do with our life that counts with God.
Amen?
Amen? I'm not saying you have to quit your job, but I am saying you and I, all of us, can we ask God, I want something I do in my life, with my life, I want there to be something of value that counts with God, that counts for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
So all these things are things, I hope you could pray this week. Go back to Psalm 90, use those items to pray. We have a little prayer room back here. in the back. If you personally want to have gone through something, you want to pray after this meeting, you can go back there. There's people to pray with you.